Hello, and welcome to the Infinite Escape Room, the puzzling podcast where a scattered team of talkers turn up to try and tackle an intangible escape room before toddling to the tavern for an intoxicating tipple. I'm Dom. I'm afraid I'll be hosting this week. A little known fact about me is that I currently hold the record of the person who's talked the longest on this episode of the podcast. I feel my title may be under threat, though. Speaking of, joining me today, we have...
Before we begin, that was a fantastic bit of alliteration, Dom. I am
Thank you very much.
That was incredible.
I think that's the hardest I worked on the entire thing.
All downhill from now.
Yeah, don't bury the lead, you know.
If it's a preview of coming attractions, we're in for a treat. Hello, my name's JB. And I once put a pair of googly eyes on a wart and then spent the next 10 years of my life convincing those around me that I had a vestigial twin and named it Quato. It was wonderful. But then suddenly he disappeared and then I lost my only friend.
Oh. Was it after a particularly vigorous shower or something?
I think someone laced my my shampoo with bazooka.
And I'm Ben Levy Griffiths, and I created the sixth law of defecation, that if you eat while crapping, you will feel very weird.
unless you can establish an equilibrium of, you know, like Indiana Jones, where he's got the bag of sand and the idol. If you can get the swap perfect.
It doesn't work. It's like dipping a tomato in tomato sauces.
One thing I've always tried wanting to do is have a weighing scale as you're eating to see if a kilo of food results in a kilo of extra weight. And then if you poop out that...
I think I'd want two sets of scales if I was going to do the experiment more than once.
No, I just cut the middleman.
I think it's just one feet for you.
In this economy, two scales, you 1%ers.
There was an unfinished project by various contributors to the podcast, which was a mobile app that was going to be called Poop Deck, which you could log each of your poops, and it would tell you over the period of time of using the app how much you'd pooped in various whimsical ways, since using the app, you have pooped a baby elephant.
Do you know that? I think people would want that. You get those apps that tell you how big a baby is before it's born. Like it's the size of a Kenner Star Wars action figure, that kind of thing. Guaranteed, I would want to know if I'd poop the equivalent of a small country's GDP.
Oh yes, I should apologize if I cough throughout. I can only mute the microphone, the app, or the recording app, not all three at once. So I decided to go for none of them.
That's fine. So I like that your decision was to just give one giant finger to editor Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy it. I will cough mid-speech and not go back to re-say it.
I'm going
to
replace it with a trombone, it's fine.
So, this week's episode of the Infinite Escape Room is sponsored by Dr. Neeple's Knee Pills. Have you lost work because of your pitiful patellas? Do you feel your low-grade leg joints have led to missed opportunities? Then invest in a bottle of Dr. Neeple's Knee Pills. Once you start taking them, your knees will never hold you up again.
Again, amazing alliteration.
Does he do anything for hips?
Please say yes.
I can't come up with puns fast enough to answer that.
I'm in my late 30s. Good God, I could do with some hip pills.
Which remarkably makes you sound older than you are.
It's not the years, Ben, it's the mileage.
I know, but I don't know of another generation that might call them hip pills.
Hey, I was born in the 80s. I'm always hip.
And of course, we would all be found crying in the alleyway behind Greg's if it wasn't for the love and support of our patrons. To name some of my favourites, Maggie B, Rebecca Gerard, Chris Mikesell, and Hedgebug. Thank you
Love
very
you.
Much.
Yay.
If you want to be as cool as them, please consider joining our Patreon over at patreon.com/theinfiniteescaperoom. Starting at just a single pound a month, you can get lovely special treats like early access to the episodes and and erotic drawings of John. By John.
Or both.
Of John, by John, for John.
Subscribe
and,
now.
And patrons.
Subscribe for John's nude self-portrait calendar.
So, how does this show work? Each week, one of us presents a single instance of the Sisyphean hell that is the Infinite Escape Room. This time, that honour is mine. While the others do their Johnny best to solve it. If they fail to do so within the time limit, they're not invited back on. No, if they fail to do so within the time limit, terrible but fictional things will befall them. As any sane person does after finishing an escape room, we all head off to one of the infinite boozers of the pubiverse afterwards to discuss the room and shoot the shit. With all that out of the way, are we ready, folks?
Let's bloody do it.
Then let's enter the infinite escape room.
Are we going for realties this time? I'll press record.
Ben!
That's a really good mic impression.
I thought that was the soundboard.
It's like he's with us.
When last we saw our puzzlers, they found themselves confronted by the gaping maw of the terrible Cthulhu himself. Tentacles feed you into the dark expanse, where the air feels static, cold, and thick. Twinkling lights flicker in the distance, and you quickly lose any sense of direction, tumbling through the void within the extra-spatial entity. The myriad points of light flicker to red and begin inexorably coalescing in the blackness before you. You hear a
da-dum,
and the bright red cloud forms into a logo above you, the word Nitflex. A row of square windows blinks into existence next to you, leading off into the distance, each with a title near the bottom. A white heading above the row declares it Trending Now. Beneath you, stacked on top of one another, you can see the other rows, titled Nitflex Originals, Documentaries, and Kids Animation. From the window nearest you, you hear a voice and see a tough-looking bald man beckoning.
Oi, over here, you plums. I'm Jatham Statham, and I need your help. Those silly buggers added a new feature, animated title cards. There I was, leaning forwards in my action pose, giving a good close-up of my face, and that fucking animated explosion behind me knocked me out the sodding frame. I grabbed at the title, but it come apart, and all the letters fell into other windows as I bounced down a few rows. I climbed back up, as no one's going to click on my film without my face, but it's missing the title now. If you go and collect the letters and reassemble the title, I'll show you how to get out of here. To be perfectly honest, I can't remember what the title was. They all blend together at this point, but I'm sure you'll work it out. I hit the three windows directly beneath this one. Now, up to it. Nitflex refreshes its analytics every hour, so you've got about 45 minutes before you cost me money. And I'm not happy when I lose money.
Oh, no. I'm going to piss off Jason Statham.
Jatham Statham. Your time starts now. What would you like to do?
When he says three down, is that including the road that we're in?
No, because he fell down, not across.
Okay, so we got, just make sure I got these right, we got Trending Now, Originals, Documentaries, and Kids Animations.
Correct.
Although, depending on the quality, Kids Animations could just do well as Gem Animations. Speaking as a cartoon fan, the Lego movie's for adults, damn it. It's a real film. Okay, can we have a look at Trending Now and see what's on the windows there?
So Trending Now is where you already are. It's mainly the one that he's in, which is titleless. And then next to it, I can't think of anything. So, Cool Runnings is trending for some reason.
Oh, fucking A.
No, it's fantastic.
Now, if Jason Statham came out of his title card, that implies that we can go in. Let's go into Cool Runnings and fuck all this noise. I don't care if it's refreshes. So I live in 90s Jamaica / Canada.
So I'm going to say you can only go into a window which would be highlighted, so the first one on the row.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we'll leave Cool Runnings for now then, although I do want to have a chat with John Candy at some point. So three down. Let's have a look at the kids' animations and see what's there.
Okay. So climbing down three rows, you come to the kids' animation row. The window that is directly below the one that Jatham Statham is in is for a cartoon called Pooper Pug.
I see. That's a cautionary tale about eating too much spicy food and giving it to your dog.
Exactly, yes.
Are there any like misplaced letters on that title card that we can that look obvious?
No, underneath it just says Pooper Pug.
Can we get a description of what the window looks like, please?
Sure. It is just a white border, and looking in, you can see what's presumably the character of Pooper Pug. Standing in a brightly coloured living room.
Just very quickly, because my thinking is that maybe we can't go in, but maybe things could fall into the window. If we take a quick look around that living room, can we see any stray letters around?
You can't, but it is a window. The letters definitely could have fallen in there, and you can probably climb through there yourself.
Ooh.
Then let's enter. Pooper Pug.
Hold on, wait.
No, Jamie, think of the children.
What?
I'm going to jail.
Stepping through the window and moving quickly on, you find yourself in the brightly coloured two-dimensional living room you could see from the outside. On the floor in front of the sofa sits an anthropomorphised bug-eyed dog. With all the features of its face over on one side. The dog looks at you and says,
Hello, I'm Pooper Pug. Why are you in my cartoon?
We're here to find some fucking letters, old chum.
Oh, I saw those. They're in the credits at the end. You can grab them when the episode finishes.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, we can't do the episode. Mummy's left, and Daddy's locked in the bedroom crying. We need to maintain the status quo. Do you think you could help? The script has lines for me, Mummy, and Daddy. If the episode gets done properly, the credits will roll, and you can grab your letters.
This is some Norman Bates bullshit, and I'm here for it. Right, which of us is going to play Mrs. Pug?
I honestly do not mind.
Right, why don't you take this one, Ben?
I'll play Mrs. Pug. Now, do I have a first name? What is my backstory?
Well, you don't look like Mummy.
Oh, we get to do a makeover. All right, first of all, can I get a big wind-up and then slap Ben across the face so hard that his features all shift to one side?
You surely can. Yeah, you do so.
You look like a Picasso painting.
I will mention that also in the room, in case it was important, there's also paper and crayons, some safety scissors, some glue, some poster paints, a toy screwdriver, and a wooden truck.
Ooh. Oh, right. Okay.
I'm going to pocket that screwdriver.
Nice. Yeah. Stealing from a child. Classy.
It's high roll.
Did you say there was a script?
There will be a script when the episode's ready to go.
Mm. Oh, I see.
All right, so we need to give you a makeover, Ben. I mean, we could use the paints to do your face up like a Mummy Pug.
Yes. Is there a picture of Mummy Pug in the room?
Yeah, there is a family portrait on the wall. Mummy looks a lot like Pooper Pug, but bigger and wearing a dress. Daddy looks a lot like Pooper Pug, but bigger and wearing a monocle.
Okay, so I need a dress and presumably somehow to cover up my beard.
Hmm. I mean, you don't know. Pooper Pug's mum might be rocking a beard.
Does Pooper Pug look like she has a beard in the picture, Jamie?
Yes.
Pooper Pug or Pooper Pug's
mummy? Pooper Pug's mummy. I'm beginning to realise why she walked out.
This bullshit.
I'm glad you guys are getting into character. This is good.
Well, if we go into the bedroom where Daddy Pug is crying, there's going to be some clothes in there. If we can just sidle into the wardrobe.
He's locked in there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Damn it.
So I believe you're Daddy Pug.
I'm going to take that. Cool.
Okay. You just hit me.
Oh, no.
Wait, that was before he got in character.
This is some Daniel Day-Lewis method shit. This isn't good. I mean, could I just paint a monocle on my face? Would that be enough for old Pooper?
This animation is very...
sketchy.
Primitive, no, stylized. Very stylized.
Nice. I'll take one of the poster paints and just draw a nice big monocle over one eye with a little string going down my face, down my chin, down my chest, toward my pocket.
Lovely.
And you see there was paper there as well?
Yep, paper and crayons.
I shall quickly draw myself a dress to slip into.
Cool.
You look gorgeous, Ben.
I feel sexy.
You look sexy.
Okay. Pooper Pug looks you both up and down and says, well, I suppose this will do. Then the script appears in the air before you. I will pop it in the chat.
I just realised this is the second episode in a row where we've talked about Ben being sexy, and I hope this is a theme that's going to happen, that'll continue throughout the year.
And the intro music begins to play.
It's a lovely, normal, happy day in the Pooper Pug household. Hello, everybody. I'm just doing some drawing.
What a fulfilling life I have. I'm so happy.
I'm a valued member of the family who contributes meaningfully.
This is how I always hoped my life would be. I am completely content.
I am loving and loved. I am selfless and appreciated.
Hooray!
In the credits, you can see some letters that are the wrong colour and font.
Ooh, what are they?
They are the letters B-R-E-R. Brer, as in Brer Rabbit.
Are they all the same colour, those four letters, in the same font?
Yes.
Cool.
And are they all the same case?
They're all in the caps.
They're all in the caps.
It's a shouty title. Well, I'm going to keep the monocle, because I look fucking dapper.
Thank you, Pooper. You're a wonderful child.
You can leave now.
Oh, I will, Pooper. I will.
And then just bust out of the window, back into the Netflix selection screen.
Cool.
Should we jump up one level to documentaries?
I think so. Sounds good to me.
Sweet.
Cool. So clambering back up one row, you come to the row documentaries, and the window in the line beneath Jatham Statham's movie is a documentary called Stabbing in the Dark.
Ooh.
What does the window look like?
It's got oversaturated colours, despite the fact that it seems to be an attempt to make its looks kind of noirish. Mm. So you've got the slanting lights in the background in front of a well-worn leather chair.
Should we jump in?
Yeah.
Mary Poppins jump style. Feet first.
Cool. once you've picked yourself up, you find yourself in a very small studio space with noirish lighting. A serious-faced man in a dark suit stands before you.
Welcome to Stabbing in the Dark, the show where we confront murder with conjecture. I have a hunch you're here to collect the letters that suspiciously arrived without explanation. I'll give them to you if you can help us with our supposition for the next episode. It concerns a brutal murder on a college campus. The case went unsolved as there wasn't enough evidence to convict anybody, but the police were certain that two people were involved in committing the murder. We have testimonies from the six suspects, played here by actors. The two involved in the murder definitely lied. The others told the truth. We need to know who you think did it, so we can play music that implies they were guilty. Once you've done this, I'll give you the letters you came for. And here are the actors.
In my head, this guy is Spider-Man Noir from Spider-Verse.
Well, that was Nick Cage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a very specific impersonation to do, considering you've already heard my Jatham Statham. I mean,
all impersonations are Nick Cage in my head. It just auto translates. Cool. So we've got our six suspects in like a very well designed mug set of mugshots. They look lovely.
Thank you very much.
So we got our six, which we got six suspects, which is Raquel, Chad, and Margot. At the top, and then at the bottom, then we've got Sean, Ethan, and Tad. How about, Ben, shall I do the top three, you do the bottom three?
If you like, yes.
Cool. So Raquel's statement is, neither Sean nor Tad had anything to do with it.
This is the American college kids, yes.
She's a Scottish exchange student.
Okay.
Trust me, none of these kids are going to be American. And then we got Chad, who says, no way was Ethan involved, but Raquel did it. He's also an exchange student.
Good Chad.
Chad.
Have you not heard of Chad Hogan from Glasgow?
Oh, he was from Glasgow as well.
Via Moscow. And then we got Margot. Said, I had nothing to do with it. I was at my mom's. She lives there.
Okay.
And then we have Sean. Sean says, Raquel's clean, but Chad definitely did it. And we got Ethan. Ethan goes, if Tad did it, then it was Sean. It was with Sean, sorry. If Tad did it, then it was with Sean. And then Tad says, Raquel was involved, but Chad had nothing to do with it.
Ooh. Right, so we got to find out which of these, which two of these six people are lying. So it's your good old-fashioned two guys at the door in the labyrinth scenario.
Yes.
Ooh.
One of them love butts and can tell no lies. The other one love butts and can only tell the truth.
Okay, so I'm going to pick one at random and see if their testimony holds out. So Ethan says...
Oh, that's how I do it. I'm so glad to hear that everyone has a proper method for these.
It's fucking systematic. This stuff always makes my eyes glaze over. So I'm like, okay. So Ethan says, if Tad did it, then it was with Sean. So if Tad did it, so Tad and Sean are together. So if he is telling the truth, Tad says... Raquel was involved, but Chad had nothing to do with it. Okay. And then Sean says, Raquel's clean, but Chad definitely did do it. So one of those, like, their stories don't corroborate. So,
which was the last one that you owed, Sean? Yeah.
Yeah. Sean's dobbing in Chad, but Tad's saying Chad's innocent. So their stories don't line up, which makes me think that those two aren't probably involved together, unless they're just really shit at committing crimes and getting away with it, which is possible. I mean, they don't look like master criminals. Especially Chad.
So we're profiling now.
I mean, Chad just looks like he just wandered in. Doesn't quite know what's going on. Hmm. Oh, these are tricksy.
The Raquel statement is, I think, confusing. Because, or maybe I'm just not getting it. Neither Sean nor Tad. Should that...
I think that works.
Does the nor negate the neither?
I think it matches.
It's not supposed to. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So I think okay. She means that. Yeah. It's not Sean.
It's not
and
Sean.
It's not Tad.
It's not Tad. That's fine.
Okay. So Chad says Ethan wasn't involved, but Raquel was. So if he's telling the truth, she could still be telling the truth. Ew. Margot just says she had nothing to do with it. I mean, that's guilty conscience right there. She's not even trying to dob nobody else in. I mean. Fucking, that's a lousy alibi, Margot. Get in line. Well, maybe then Sean and Tad are the bad guys because if their stories don't line up, then they're both lying. Oh, no, because if Tad's lying, that means that Chad did have something to do with it. Oh, this is a tricksy one. Okay. Right. How about then, I don't know if you have a different method for this, Ben, but how about we go through each statement and see what happens if we assume that they're lying? And see if that story holds up. So Raquel says, neither Sean nor Tad had anything to do with it. If she was lying and therefore she was involved, it would mean that both Sean and Tad were involved. But
correct.
That means that she... We're only looking for two liars. So I think Raquel's statement is true.
You think Raquel is true?
Yeah. So I think Sean and Tad are both innocent, which means that their stories are truthful. It can't be that because their stories don't line up. Sean says Chad did do it. Tad said Chad didn't do it. Interesting. All right, so who Dobbs in who? Chad Dobbs in Raquel. Sean Dobbs in Chad.
Well, yeah.
Tad Dobbs in Raquel.
Well, no, hang on. Raquel says neither Sean nor Tad had anything to do with it.
Mm.
Sean said Raquel's clean, but Chad definitely had something to do with it, which means that Tad is still clean. And then Tad says Raquel was involved. Oh, yeah, no, sorry, there you go. That was a bit...
Yeah. So I think either Sean or Tad is a bastard. Because they're both, like, doing the same thing, but reversed. One's saying Raquel's good. So, and Ethan says, if Tad did it, then it was with Sean. So then I think Ethan's one of the ones who were involved. Because his story doesn't line up. Like, all three of those can't be true. Because their stories don't match. So I think Ethan is one of the bad people. But I wonder if his statement's, like, trying to throw us off a little bit. Maybe Tad or Sean is involved. Out of interest, Dom, how much time we got left?
You're coming up on halfway through your time.
Okay. Feeling good.
That's not so bad. So do you think that Ethan did it?
I think he's involved. I think that that statement is false. But I think that either Tad or Sean might also be involved, potentially.
Well, if Tad did it, then it was with Sean. So if we think Ethan did do it, then...
Oh, wait.
Chad. Is it Ethan and Chad? Because Chad then says, no way, it was Ethan.
Oh, but that would mean that Tad is telling the truth, but he says Raquel is involved. So
that's true.
Bulldoze the Ethan theory. I think maybe Raquel and Sean, because she says neither Sean nor Tad had anything to do with it. If that's a lie, because Sean is one of the ones involved.
Yes, and Sean says Raquel's clean.
Which would be bullshit.
Yes.
Both Chad and Tad, twins... Dobbin Raquel. Ethan says if Tad did it, it would be with Sean, but is Sean acting alone? And Margot was at her mom's.
Well, Ethan also says if Tad did it, then it would be with Sean, but she doesn't say that if Sean did it, it would be with Tad.
Yeah. So that still holds up. So we could see Raquel and Sean are bullshitting.
Yes.
Should we lock that in?
Let's lock that in.
Right. So we go over to the dusky eyed, detective and say, we got you guys. It's Raquel and Sean.
He looks at the mugshots and the quotes, and he slowly swivels his chair to you and he says,
my God, that's a good unevidenced accusation. Thanks. Here are the letters.
And he hands you over a handful of letters.
Ooh, what we got?
The letters are D, U, N, C, and H, as in
Dunch.
The afternoon version of brunch, yes.
Let's do Dunch.
Half dinner, half lunch.
So we got Brayer and Dunch, that classic Jason Statham film. Right, so I believe we've only got one place left to go.
So you're going to the Netflix originals?
Yeah, let's jump in.
Okay, let's climbing go. Up. To the row just beneath Jatham Statham. You can see the one below him is titled The Scaresome Spook House on Sinister Street. And through the window, you can see the images of sort of one of those big wooden American houses.
Can we jump in?
You can. You jump into darkness. As your eyes adjust, you realize you're in what appears to be the basement of an American house. You look around and jump scare!
Ah!
It's just a scared-looking woman. She steps back from you and says,
who are you? What are you doing here?
Excuse me, love. We're a set of postmen and we've lost some letters. Have you got any for us?
Oh, I saw those letters. They're upstairs in the hall. But you can't go up there. My husband has turned into a floating lady, and she'll suck your soul out if she sees you. She can only manifest in darkness, so I've been trying to get the lights on, but the fuse box is screwed up. If you can get the lights on, it'll be safe for you to go get the letters.
I love, I'm no electrician, but we'll try our best, thank you very much.
You might like to know that it's no longer called a fuse box, it's a consumer unit.
What? Since when?
So apparently since you know how long our fuse is in them and they're all circuit breakers.
So is that still true in a, is that, would that be true in a 19th century American house though?
Depends if they're fuses or not.
It's screwed up. It is breakers though, actually. Yeah.
It's probably just orphan children from the workhouse that are holding two bits of wire together inside a giant box.
Let's go have a look at these not fuses.
Okay, so you go and look at these, the service box. So you said it was called?
A consumer unit.
Consumer unit. Consumer unit? I barely know a unit. There we go. You go over to the consumer unit. You can see that it has five switches labeled A to E. There is a post-it note next to them.
Ooh, what does it say?
It says, switch C is dodgy. To restore power, switch C must be the only one off. You can only flick one switch at a time. I'll put that in the chat.
You see, if this was anything like my fuse box, I can't really be asked to call it a consumer unit, there wouldn't be any labels on it. And you'd spend about half the time troubleshooting. I've just flicked this off. What exactly has gone off? Just quickly, what state are they all in currently?
They're all off.
They're all off.
Is there like an up down kind of situation?
Yeah, let's say off is down and on is up. But that's just for immersion. It doesn't.
Cool. So what happens if we flick switch A?
If you flick switch A, then switch A obviously goes on. Switch C also goes on, and switch E goes on.
Oh, we didn't mean that to happen.
No, that's not good. Okay.
Oh, should we? I'm just wondering whether we want to should we try B next, right? Or do we want to reset A and then try B?
Also, put it back to the original state.
Yeah, because obviously, otherwise, we've got a combination and we might lose ourselves.
Smart. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so you're
flicking
A back, yeah.
A back off. Cool. The other two flick as well. They are all off once more.
Cool. So if we flick B up now, please.
Okay. Flicking B, B goes off, A goes off, and D goes off.
When you say goes off, you mean on?
On, yes. Flicks, yes, that's much better.
A, B, and D.
Yes.
Wonderful. That's yes.
When you say off, I assume you mean the opposite of the thing you said. And you were right to assume so.
Could we please reset B and put C on, please?
You certainly can. Flicking B back off, they all reset to off. Flicking C on turns on E and B as well. So B, C, and E are all on.
Excellent. Should we reset C, please, and turn on D?
Okay, resetting it puts them all off again. Turning on D also switches on C and A.
Okay, and lastly, if we could reset once again and switch E on, please.
You surely can. After doing so, D, E, and B are on.
D, E, and B. Okay, so out of all of them so far, we'll just reset as well, so they're all off again.
Okie dokie.
Out of all of them, B and E currently result in C not being on.
Yes.
But my presumption is that we're looking for a combination that if you... I think that we're going to have to perhaps make three switches. One to get a bunch of them on, which will not include C. And then maybe two that do include C, so that
it goes up
potentially
and down.
One cancels the other out, is my presumption.
That's good. You got this from me, Ben.
Tell you what, just as a test, could we please flick A on? That will result in A, C, and E going up.
Yep.
And then could we also flick B on, which my presumption is A will go down and B and D will go up.
So, slowly for my poor brain. So we've switched.
A is on.
A switched A on, which yes turns on C and E. So we've now got A, C, and E on, and then you're switching
B
on. Okay, that switches B on. Then A goes off and D goes on.
Okay, excellent, cool.
Then there's a click and the fuse box resets itself so that they are
wonderful. So presumably we can do this in just two switches.
Or maybe it's only the two correct. Like maybe it's like if it's the wrong one.
Well, it wouldn't count if you did the two wrong ones, would it?
It did the first, like maybe the first one was right, but the second one's like, nah, fuck that, reset. But if we can do it in two moves, then great.
Could we turn C on, please?
Sure. Turning on C also switches on B and E.
And can we also switch on D, please?
Switching on D switches C off and turns on A.
And D.
As you do so. Because that's the one you switched, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, which does indeed set it so that you've got A, B, D, and E on, and C is off.
Nice. Good job, Ben.
The bulb hanging from the ceiling plinks on, illuminating the basement, and you assume the lights have gone on throughout the house.
All right. Well, ghosty's been vamosed. So can we exit the basement and try and get to the hall?
Climbing the steps and going through the door, you find yourself in the front hall, and laying in a small pile on the floor are five more letters. These ones are P, A, S, T, and A.
Pasta!
Interesting.
So we have bread, dunch, pasta. Man, I know that Jason Statham is getting on now, but he needs to pick his movie titles a bit better because no one's going to be able to go to the cinema to see that.
Well, so if I didn't mention it specifically, which I have no idea if I did, it's highly likely that letters have all become extremely jumbled during the tumble.
That's fair.
So do we have one more window to go through, or do we just have the three
that's
windows?
That's the three windows that he mentioned.
Excellent.
And this is the one in trending now that he's currently sitting in.
So I'm wondering whether, do we think these are jumbled up all together, or do we think we have three words that are individually jumbled up?
Ooh, my gut feeling is that it's three sets of jumbled up letters, but there's not a great deal of writing on that thought.
No, I'm just thinking that. So the first one we had, which was Brer, B-R-E-R, there's not too many ways you could jumble that into an actual word.
Mm.
Wait, but were you saying Brer is not an actual word? Tell that to the author of Brer Rabbit.
I've never heard of this book. As far as I think, you're making it up.
Short for brother, I think.
Yeah, if you've watched the now banned movie Song of the South, you'll know all about Bray Rabbit and his exploits. But let's not get into that. can we present these letters to Jason Statham and go, do you recognise any of these in a particular order, Jason?
Oh, sorry. You you climb on up to him and sort of just present your findings to him. And he says, those are the letters. They weren't in that order, though.
To give us a clue, right? Allegedly, one of the ways you can tell the pasta is cooked is you throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. So maybe we just throw the letters at the window.
I mean, that's great. I mean, let's give that a go. That sounds good.
Okay, you do so. They all just sort of bounce off the front and fall to, I suppose, whatever the analog is for the floor. Jatham Statham says, "Oi, quit fannying about." However, they have landed into two separate groups, which does give you the idea that perhaps it maybe it doesn't have to be a combination of three.
So it's one long anagram.
Does Jatham, or Mr. Statham, I don't know how we should refer to him, do they remember how many words were in the title?
No.
Okay.
When we look at the now empty titleless window, is this still a picture? Is there still something else there?
There is him. Behind that is an explosion, which is looping in a GIF animation. There's lots of men lying around on the floor, unconscious.
Oh, so that's pretty much every Jason Statham film.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad thing.
This is where we need Laura, I think. Laura's great at these kinds of things.
Just should Queen's Gambit it and just be able to see the pieces rearranging.
Exactly. She probably got it with just two title cards as well.
Anagrams. My kryptonite.
If you do want a hint, I can give you one.
How much time have we got?
You've got 5 minutes.
Oh, fucking hell. Right. Is there anything about these letters that would denote an order, size, colour, or they're all uniform in terms of how they look?
They are entirely uniform, I'm afraid.
Well, shit. 5 minutes. We can do this in 5 minutes, surely. anagrams. Why do you hate me so? I mean, is there anything else in this Netflix screen that might potentially clue us into? Is there anything that we haven't looked at, or anything that stands out in the rest of this Netflix screen?
No, not specifically. I think there is one thing still in the window that Jatham Statham's in, but the thing that it is does not stand out at all. In fact, you could almost say it's noticeable by its absence.
Okay.
Is that Jatham himself?
No, he's there looking pissed off. Right.
Yeah, so we got Jatham, we got the explosion, we've got all the dead people around him, but we've got no title.
Yep.
What else we've been missing
that
from
you can see?
Oh, can we go into that window?
So as you try, he pushes you back. He doesn't want you in his film. But one thing you do notice as you try to clamber in is that there is almost an invisible lump in the middle of the bottom of the frame of the window. A solid space in space.
A solid space in space.
I feel this is supposed to help.
I mean, maybe that...
Not in the way I phrased it, it's not.
I mean, maybe that is literally a space for... As in the space between words. So that's where the cutoff is. For the. I mean, can I have a cheeky fondle of this space? Or is Statham in the way?
I mean, you can try your luck, but his red raw knuckles seem to be itching.
Okay, are we able to put any letters on that space?
No, the space is right in the middle.
Okay.
Bang in the middle.
Interesting. What are you thinking, Ben?
You can make the word chunder. I don't know if that's going to be in it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That uses, well, all of Dunch and the ER in Brer. And then we just need to BR and Pasta.
Pastarb. Pastarb chunder. That's a great character name.
Maybe BR Pasta Chunder, and the BR is obviously short for Brigadier or something like that. Brigadier Pasta Chunder.
Nailed it. That sounds like a
Do you want to submit that?
Yes, give that a go.
That's right. As Ben gets his teeth kicked in by Jatham Statham.
He looks at it and he goes, well, I guess that could be it, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't. I won't get my money if Netflix doesn't recognize it as the actual title.
I think we may need to get a cheeky little steer.
I think the only hint I can give you is that it is two words. You're splitting it in two. Okay, somehow. Cool.
Dunch is doing because it sounds like a word or looks like a word. It feels like it. I want to keep the UNCH together. Which, if we take the P from pass, we have punch.
Oh, yeah, that's a Jason Statham thing.
Yeah, and then we've got Aster, Brr, and.
Oh, you can do no. You can do bastard, punch bastard, something similar to that. So we got
bastard punch. Yeah, bastard punch would or punch bastard, one of you.
I think we're missing ER maybe.
No, we got the ER and brer. Yeah. So we got if you got ASTA from pasta, right? Mm-hmm. You prefix that with the B.
Yeah. Or,
no, we've got an R too many.
And an E as well, with the E and R from bear. So punch a bastard.
Punch a bastard?
Punch.
You want to go with that?
Punch a bastard.
I'd say you should go with something. You've got 30 seconds left now.
All right, let's do bastard puncher and punch bastard. Punch bastard.
Okay. So you assemble the first into what, sorry?
Let's do bastard puncher.
Yes.
Bastard puncher.
I'd watch that.
Jason Statham looks down at it. He looks up at you and he says, nice one. Thanks to you, I'll continue trending. All right. As promised, here's how to get out. Go to the left-hand menu, go down to get help, then click exit Netflix, and you're out. Bon voyage. Following his instructions, you're able to find the exit Netflix button, which you press.
Hey.
The application closes, and the darkness is absolute.
Woohoo!
After a few seconds, you hear a quiet, twinkling, fizzing sound. From above you, vertical streams of code made up of bright green symbols begin to cascade straight down through the blackness. You hear a phone begin to ring, and the words, "Wake up!" Congratulations, you solved my puzzle.
Yay!
You had 14 seconds to spare.
Talk about cutting your fine.
Yeah.
Bastard Puncher sounds like an incredible film. I would watch the living daylights out of that.
Well, I mean, you know, coming to Netflix in spring 2024.
Subscribe now, kids. Oh, that was really good. Thanks, Dom.
That was awesome.
Great. You're very welcome.
Loved that.
I've written no form of outro whatsoever. Jamie, take it away.
Cool. What do I normally say? Fuck. So that's it for this episode. Come join us next week at the Stream of Gold. We will have a drink and a little chat about the room, what we just did. If you enjoyed this episode as much as we did, then please leave us a review on your podcasting platform of choice, or Facebook, or anywhere that you can review podcasts. There's too many places to name these days. Please do so, because every review that you leave will get us in front of more people. We love you lots, and we'll see you next time on the Infinite Escape Room. Bye-bye.
Farewell.
Bye-bye.